This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Reed Pence. This week, tough-to-treat cases of fungal sinusitis.
I actually had a sinus infection that lasted 25 years. I had 4 surgeries, and I was on, I calculated, over 100 courses of antibiotics.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Nancy Benson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show. Here's a preview of what they're covering on Viewpoints this week.
This week on Viewpoints.
It's the fascination of how numbers can relate to each other, patterns that occur, and how they reflect what's going on in nature. That's what's fascinating.
Why so many Americans, from first grade to adulthood, do poorly at math in school and end up hating it. Then,
after 50 or 60 years of incredible research, we know that sleep is the single most effective thing that we can do to reset the brain and body health.
It's a function of living that has confounded scientists and the general public for as long as we can remember. And the question of why we sleep has proven over the years to be very difficult to solve. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints on your favorite radio station, iTunes and Stitcher.
Erin Porter of Tampa, Florida, had been having sinus problems since she was in her early 20s. It took until she was in her mid-40s to find out what was wrong.
I actually had a sinus infection that lasted 25 years, and I had 4 surgeries, and I was on, I calculated, over 100 courses of antibiotics in those 25 years, and I had a chronic, both bacterial and fungal infection. Later, I was diagnosed with aspergillomas is actually what they're called, and they're fungal balls in the sinuses, and I had several. And I would go to an ear, nose, and throat about every 2 to 4 weeks in between all these surgeries to get them removed, only for them to grow back in the matter of days. So it was an uphill battle. The antibiotics stopped working. I was on even the big guns of antibiotics, the vancomycins and the tobramycins, and started to become resistant to some, and my future was starting to look pretty bleak.
Most people think of bacteria when they have sinusitis. Most doctors do, too, at least at first. And antibiotics are the treatment of choice. But if a person's sinuses are infected with fungi, antibiotics will do nothing and may even make the problem worse.
Well, it removes the bacteria from the lining, and bacteria tend to compete with fungi for food in the environment. So if you remove all the bacteria, then the fungus have free range to grow.
But Dr. Donald Dennis, an ear, nose, and throat surgeon in Atlanta who treated Erin, says that won't happen to most people. Virtually all of us have fungi in our nose and sinuses, and they don't affect most people at all.
There are people who can be in extreme toxic environments with fungal loads that would literally kill other people, and they don't get sick.
That's the thing that's kind of amazing, right? So if people have fungus in the nose, and you may not have any kind of reaction to it, and you may not have any problems. So if you're not allergic to these certain types of fungus, you don't have any reaction. There's nothing that happens.
Dr. Joseph Hahn is professor of otolaryngology, head and neck surgery at Eastern Virginia Medical School.
Top layers of the respiratory mucosa have hair cells, and those push things out, and they push it out of the sinuses, they push it back into the back of the throat, and you just kind of get rid of it. So you blow it out, or you drain the back of your throat, and it's gone.
However, people like Erin, who are allergic to fungi, may have severe problems that go on and on.
About 10% of the population has a severe susceptibility to mold. And there's about 31 million people in America who have chronic sinusitis. And what they're finding is those people are the ones that their immune system just overreact to mold. So one person can be fine working in a building, or one person can be very healthy in the family while the other one is not.
People like Erin have an immune issue where they have a genetic defect in their T cell, which is a white cell that attacks the fungus, but in them, they react 9,000 times normal, rather than a normal person will just react with 0.01% of their T cells, whereas people who have chronic sinusitis react with 3,000 of their T cells, and each one of those 3,000 secretes 3 inflammatory chemicals. So then you have 3 times 3,000, so that's where the 9,000 times inflammation comes from per mole spore. So they don't need many mole spores to make them sick.
Dennis says he believes fungal sinusitis infections are increasing, or at least they're being diagnosed more often. There's much more awareness of them these days, especially, according to Hahn, in the humid South and Southeast.
Fungus is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. But in the South, where it's more humid, it tends to be in the air more commonly. It gets inhaled through the nose. And then a few of the sinuses get trapped in the sinus cavity. Now, if you take a culture of everyone's nose, whether they're healthy or not healthy, almost everyone will have fungus in their nose. But not everybody has an allergic reaction. Only people who have allergies to fungus. What happens is when these fungus get trapped in the sinuses, your body develops an allergic reaction to it, and it recruits cells like eosinophils, and it starts to grow. And it grows like a tumor in a sense that, you know, once it starts recruiting itself and more of it comes in, and it just kind of is a self-perpetuating disease.
That immune reaction damages the lining and damages the cilia, which are the little hair cells that move the mucus out. It makes a small pit in the lining so that the mucus doesn't drain out. And then they get a secondary bacterial infection. But when you just treat that, it tends to recur because the fungus is still there. So you got to address the fungus.
There are a variety of kinds of fungal sinusitis. The allergic form can make life miserable. But Hahn says what are called acute and chronic invasive forms can be life-threatening.
For the chronic, it tends to be very slow-growing, indolent, usually in patients who can be a little bit immunocompromised, meaning their immune system is not as strong, usually commonly seen among diabetic patients. And acute invasive are definitely patients who are really immunocompromised. So these are patients with organ transplants, people who have leukemia and are undergoing treatment for that. They just have no way of fighting off the fungus. And in these situations, the mortality can be high as 50%. They have little symptoms such as a little bit of nasal congestion, and that's all they may have. But when you look inside their nose, the fungus is basically eating the patient alive. And what it's doing is it's invading the blood vessel and is causing necrosis to occur. And once that fungus spreads, and it spreads along the blood vessels, once it spreads into the brain, the chance of dying is very, very high.
Hahn says it takes a good ear, nose, and throat doctor to treat these kinds of infections.
These are emergencies. You see them as soon as you can. You can't wait 2 weeks to see them. You try to see them as soon as possible. And when you see these patients, what you do is you take a look inside the nose. And one of the first things I look for is whether or not they can feel. Because when you push an endoscope, which is a camera, a long camera, and you touch the nasal cavities, they should be able to feel it. These patients don't feel it because the fungus goes into the blood vessels. The blood vessels no longer supply blood to the nerves and the tissue. The nerves die, and they can't feel things. And then because the blood supply is now gone, that's when the tissue becomes necrotic. And the only way to diagnose somebody with invasive fungal sinusitis is you have to get a biopsy.
Fungus may go anywhere in the body, but it generally stays close to the sinuses, in the eye and brain. Hahn says treatment is extremely difficult.
You have to be very diligent because you have to go in there and try to remove as much of the fungus as possible. You also give them antifungal treatment as well. And in patients who are immunocompromised, you try to revert their immunocompromised status. So in patients who have leukemia and are getting chemotherapy to get rid of their leukemia or the blood cell cancers, when you're trying to use chemotherapy to treat the leukemia, sometimes you'll have to stop the leukemia so that you can get their cells to fight off these fungus to grow back. And that's probably the best prognosis, is that the leukocytes, which fight off the fungus, comes back.
Yet another form of fungal sinusitis is not invasive, but Han says mycetomas can sometimes be serious.
Those are things that are relatively benign, other than when it gets really large and starts pressing into the eye or the brain. These fungus kind of grows, the eosinophil is kind of dead, kind of grows and eventually dies off, and then you have fungus mixed in with dead eosinophils. These dead eosinophils become crystals called charcoal-laden crystals. After it grows to a certain size, if it needs to grow more, it remodels the bone and pushes into the eye, it pushes into the brain, and you can get what we call proptosis, meaning the eye starts sticking out. You know, medical treatment doesn't cure these patients.
Medicines can alleviate pressure and swelling, but Han says only sinus surgery can remove the fungus in those serious cases and begin to stop the cycle. However, treatment doesn't stop there.
A lot of people think that by doing surgery, you kind of cure the problem, but it hasn't, because you're still allergic to fungus, and fungus still is in the air. So once it goes to the sinuses, it can grow again. So you got to do sinus surgery plus medical treatment afterwards to prevent the fungus from coming back and the polyps from coming back.
The reason they recur is because the immune reaction continues, mainly because they're getting exposure in the environmental air. If you don't address the fungal load in the air and in the body, you don't get a long-term result. As it turns out, the air you breathe is 5x more important to your health than any other treatment.
That was the case with Erin Porter and her allergic fungal sinusitis. Her initial treatment with another doctor was partially successful.
He took one look at the CAT scan and said, "You have a severe fungal infection." I started on the antifungal, and I watched my world transform. My sinuses got about 50% better. You have to take it out of your sinuses, but you also have to address your air. And that's another thing I wasn't doing. If people are living in a moldy environment or working maybe in a sick building or a moldy building, it's going to come right back.
Dennis says HEPA air filtration, getting rid of carpets, and using antifungals on laundry help address mold exposure. But how do you know if your chronic sinus infections are fungal in the first place?
If they're having 4 or 5 sinus infections a year, they're treated with antibiotics and they're recurring, or they're getting it for 3 or 4 weeks at a time and having trouble with it resolving and then coming back, those all have chronic sinusitis. It's bacterial and fungal. The bacteria are the infection that's apparent, and the fungal part is usually more stealth, although it can be visible endoscopically in the nose in a certain number of cases. You can actually see the fungus in there. But in a lot of them, you don't see the fungus, but you can culture it out.
One well-known study at the Mayo Clinic found fungal involvement in more than 90% of sinus infections. But Han isn't sure that that's the complete picture.
If you look at that study, they say like 96% of patients with chronic sinusitis have fungus. But if you look at the control, 100% of them had it. So both the study group and the control group both have fungus.
The picture is confusing. That's why an otolaryngologist or ear, nose, and throat specialist is often a good check on recurrent sinus infections that don't respond to antibiotics. You can find out more about all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.net. You can also find archives of our programs there and on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Reed Pence.
This week is National Influenza Vaccination Week. The American College of Physicians, a national organization of internists, advises adults to get an annual flu vaccine. It's also the perfect time for adults to discuss with their internists other recommended vaccinations they might need. Dr. Ana Maria Lopez is ACP's president.
Immunizations are not just for children. Vaccinations guard against serious health problems, hospitalization, or even death. They also help prevent the spread of disease, especially among those who are most vulnerable to complications, such as the elderly and those with chronic conditions and weakened immune systems.
In addition to getting an annual flu vaccine, ACP advises adults to ask their internist if they need vaccinations or boosters to protect against tetanus, diphtheria, whooping cough, pneumococcal pneumonia, bacteremia, meningitis, cervical and other cancers, hepatitis B, and shingles. Find out more at acponline.org.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-835-1478. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-835-1478. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-835-1478. That's 1-800-835-1478.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Don't fight addiction alone. Their advisors are ready to take your call. Your future is still a bright place. The help you need could be one call away. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419. This call is completely confidential. And if you have private insurance, there could be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There's no need to let addiction ruin your life. Take the first step now. Call your addiction team at 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419. Make the free call now. 800-279-0419. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
Thank you for listening to Radio Health Journal, a production of MediaTrax Communications. If you enjoyed this week's show, please leave a review on iTunes or share it with a friend. You can find more Radio Health Journal stories about health, science, and technology on iTunes, Stitcher, and at radiohealthjournal.net.